The reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven."
Thank you, Lynn. I'm inclined to say a model of emotional and spiritual maturity, given all that was said about her earlier in the service. So we're continuing today on our series called Plan A. Plan A being the church. Jesus' plan to continue his mission in the world. And today we're thinking of ourselves as the blessing community. The blessing community. And what that means if God's kingdom is going to come. And we have heard in those verses from the Beatitudes, very, very frequently read and referred to, something which ought to be the core of the praying of most of us when we come to pray for ourselves and for others, I believe. It was interesting what Eric said before that last song, and I went to bed last night thinking, "God, I don't know how to get into this word this morning. Ideas, please." And read a few pages of my novel and went to bed. Went to sleep. I was in bed. And when I woke up this morning, a particular song had come to mind. A particular song. One that is so old, Eric is too young to know it. But a few of you might recognize it. I'm going to read the verses. I'll leave the chorus till the end. It says this: "When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, wealth can never buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high." See amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort give you to your journey's end. And then comes the refrain: count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I think we ought to sing that refrain. You don't need to stand up. Count your blessings, name them. those who are theologically superior to most of us, I mean, I can imagine my lecturers at theological college cringing that one of their students would even use that in a service. But then I'm reminded that Karl Barth, probably the greatest biblical scholar and theologian of the 20th century, who was once asked, I mean, he'd written 8 volumes of dogmatics. Each volume was about 800 pages long, and about 500 pages of each volume were just the notes to the text. Solid stuff. And when he was in New York once, he was asked, how would you sum up your faith in one line? He said, oh, that's easy. That's very easy, he said. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. End of comment, end of quote. Count your blessings. Now, what's going on in that song? And when you read the story of the song, it's incredible, but I'm not going to go into that now. But the song looks at all the adversities of life and says, but even in those, and actually through those, come blessings. The blessings in the dark place are never made ours unless we have to go through the dark place. The blessings that come from struggle will never be ours unless we've struggled in our faith. The blessings of promise will never be ours until we've dared and taken the risk to trust the promise. The blessing of the load shared with Jesus will never be known until we know what it is to take his burden on us. There are certain prerequisites for knowing the blessings of God. And if we want an easy downhill run of life, then we might choose that. But we'll be moving too fast to collect many blessings on the way. Jesus sat somewhere on the mount. We don't know exactly where the mount was, but Jesus preached what we call the Sermon on the Mount. And he gave a number of statements of how the disciples, those who follow him, those who choose to be citizens of the kingdom of God, how they will be blessed. But the blessings he talks about are not easily won. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Very important that we hear what that's saying, that blessed are the poor in spirit, not blessed are the poor. Now, don't get me wrong. I do believe that God has something special and seems to manifest himself among the poor in a way that the respectable, affluent middle classes can never hope to know. But when Jesus was giving these words, everybody was poor. There were very, very few rich people. And in the rural context in which he was speaking, most people lived to grow enough or make enough to eat, so that eating they could then sleep and wake to another day of working to produce what would feed them that day. That was life. That's how life was lived. It was a subsistence living. And only in the big cities were there those who acquired enough wealth through trade to begin to get rich. So the poor in spirit to whom Jesus was speaking here were also, almost by definition, poor. But what's he saying? He's actually saying something universal. He is saying to us as human beings, we are poor in spirit. Without God, we cannot begin to reach the potential he has created us to attain to. Blessed are the poor in spirit and those who know it, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is given to those who come into relationship with God through him. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. We don't want to mourn. We don't like the emotions of mourning. We don't like it when deep sobs well up from somewhere deep within us and we cannot stop. And many of us have known that experience at some point in our lives. Maybe the loss of a loved one. Maybe the loss of a marriage. The loss of a friendship. The loss of relationships. Blessed are those who mourn. Especially if they are in relationship to a God whose joy it is to bring comfort and healing and wholeness to his people. He says, my children, if you mourn, you'll know the blessing of comfort. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Meek does not mean mouse-like. Not mouse-like. Not quiet. Not never saying boo to a goose. Meek means power under perfect control. Power under perfect control. When you think of the power that Jesus had, he could have got himself down from the cross. He could have come to a legion of angels to come to his side and rescue him. He could have smitten the Romans and the Jews who were around him at Calvary. But he kept it all under control because he had a task to fulfill. He was meek. And the meek will inherit the earth. We're promised. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That means personal righteousness, that righteousness, that holiness of living that we can only attain as the Holy Spirit is allowed to work in every part of our being, on every part of who we are. Oh, if we seek the Holy Spirit to come and give us righteousness, he will do the work that needs to be done. But we're also called to hunger and thirst for righteousness in the world. And we can be assured that those who do so will be filled by the Spirit for the task. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Jesus, in a few words' time, is going to be talking to his disciples about how they need to be forgiving people. How when people offend them, they need to let go of the offense. They need to turn the other cheek. They need to move on. Because to hold on to lack of forgiveness, to hold on to anger, is like wanting to punish somebody else, but constantly taking the punishment into ourselves. But if we learn how to forgive, how to show mercy, we will enjoy the mercy of God all the more fully. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. It's as if Jesus is saying that the heart is like a lens for seeing God. How clean do you keep the lens? How bright, how unsullied? How good is it at letting the light through? What's the condition of your heart? Blessed if you're pure in heart, for you will see God, says Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who will mediate and moderate and reconcile. You'll be called the children of God, because I don't want my children warring and falling out and constantly dividing from one another. Blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the children of God. And then, blessed are the persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Going to think about that in a few weeks' time. But here are these Beatitudes, these statements of blessing. Now, we need to understand what's going on here. This is not Jesus saying, well, some of you are the poor in spirit, and you over there are those who mourn, and you back there, you're the meek, and you at the front here hunger and thirst for righteousness. And, you know, it describes different people. He is actually giving an identikit picture of his follower, of his disciple. He's saying, this is how you are. You should be people of whom all these things are true. And if all these things are true, how great are your blessings, because these blessings are all yours as well. We are a blessed community. I can never think of what Paul has to say in Galatians 5:22 without thinking of the Beatitudes. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and I think he's talking about much the same thing when he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He's not saying some of you are the loving ones, some of you need to be joyful, some of you need to be kind, some of you need to be gentle, some of you need to be faithful. That's not what he's saying, because he's talking about one fruit. Those slides are actually theologically incorrect. They're very pretty because they show you a different fruit for each of the bits of the fruit, but actually it's one fruit which has all these flavors in it. And we are called to be all these things. We're called to be whole people in God, and to know the blessings of all these things too. back in the autumn, we thought about, we did our Begin the Journey series, and we were thinking about emotionally healthy spirituality. Seems to me that this ties up very greatly with this stuff about the Beatitudes, because so much of it is to do with our attitudes. Be good, that, isn't it? Be like Jesus' attitudes. Beatitudes. You remember, we looked at how you need to know yourself if you're going to truly know God. You need to go back in order to go forward. As you know, we need to recognize that there are things in our past that we've never dealt with, and they need to be dealt with so that we can move on. We need to learn how to journey through the walls of life. We think we're going along fine, and then a corner comes, and all of a sudden, boom, we don't feel we can go any further, and we have to seek God's grace to go through beyond, which often means allowing grief and loss to enlarge our soul. But they're often the growing points in life, and we need to receive them and the blessings that come through them as gifts from God. We need to have lives where there is time spent with God and for God. Daily times, weekly times, monthly times, times given totally to Him. We need to commit to growing into emotionally mature adults by being properly spiritually formed. And we can help ourselves in developing a rule of life. And if we're going to do these things, if we're going to live the life of the Beatitude, if we're going to be a community of blessing, because we are a community of blessed people, and this is what I'm going to end up getting to, so I'll tell you now, is the whole idea here, I think, of what Jesus is saying is, you're to be something in the world for me. You're not just blessed so that you can say, I'm happy, I'm blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are blessed to be God's best advert for the kingdom. You are blessed with life abundance, that others might seek that life for themselves. And therefore, we need to move on in our lives. Some of you, when we did, and it was just a select group of ladies who meet on Wednesday mornings, but some of you, when we were doing Begin the Journey, actually looked at the Emotionally Healthy Woman material, which is based on a book that Pete and Jerry Scazzaro called I Quit. And you know, there are some things that we've got to be prepared to quit as people if we're going to be people of blessing. They suggest eight things. These are the eight things. And, you know, no prizes for guessing who was spent 48 hours with Pete and Jerry Scazzaro just over a week ago. But it just seems to me, when I look at this, this is just common sense. Firstly, I quit being afraid of what others think. How many of us suffer from being afraid of what others think? I don't know that I can be totally honest to myself. What will others think? I don't know when everybody else is being happy how I can say I'm wrestling with this. I don't know how, when other people are wrestling with stuff, I can say, I'm feeling really blessed at the moment. We need to quit being afraid of what others think. That doesn't mean being insensitive to others. But it does mean having the courage of our convictions. We need to quit lying. You see, if we are afraid of what others think, how often we then begin to lie to ourselves and to them because we don't want to appear to be out of step. How can we be honest to God if we are not honest to ourselves and those around us? We need to quit dying to the wrong things. There are some things God gives us to bless us. But we think we have to sacrifice them because we're not supposed to be that blessed. We're not supposed to enjoy things. I mean, I'm not talking about sinful pleasures here. There are some things we need to die to. But we can die to the wrong things. Oh, well, you know, I really shouldn't be watching the World Cup. I need to be spending all that time in prayer. Well, maybe. But frankly, if that's what floats your boat, feeling miserable on Sunday morning, then, you know, tune in and enjoy it. I recently said to CLT, I'm really wondering whether I should go back to the Gilbert and Sullivan Society because, you know, I can do so much better things with that time. Which one of them turned round and said, I don't know that I agree with that. You know, because he saw that I could perhaps be dying to the wrong thing, dying to something which actually helps me and feeds me and gives me a meeting place with people who aren't Christians and so on. And we have to be very discerning here. I need to quit denying anger, sadness, and fear. In other words, when you are angry, you need to admit it. And then you need to work out how to properly express it. No use saying it isn't there and just trying to suppress it. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be expressed. But there are appropriate ways of expressing it and inappropriate ways of expressing it. When we're sad, we need to bring that sadness to God and we need to bring it to some close friends and say, this is really tough at the moment. Will you be there for me? Will you walk this path with me? When we're fearful, I don't think I can go into the office and be honest about being a Christian. Well, we know that that's not right. So we need to be praying that there will be those who are praying for us and giving us strength. We need to quit blaming other people when it's our fault. We need to quit over-functioning, doing too much. Workaholism is a sin, he says, and I will regret having said that later. Quit faulty thinking. Wrong ways of thinking, being in a mindset, oh, it will never change. Or when anybody says anything, you just take it personally. Sorry, can't make it for coffee today. I must be doing this. Oh, they don't want to be my friend anymore. Actually, it may be that they have got something more important to be doing. And we need to quit living someone else's life. And live the life God has given us to live. Now, if we're going to do those things, I believe we need to come back to Matthew chapter 5. This is where Jesus is talking about this stuff. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's okay to admit you haven't got it all together and that you need me, folks, Jesus says. Because when you do, it's the way to the kingdom. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If you're sad, if you're going through it, if you're grieving, that's okay. You will be comforted, and what's more, as you are comforted, you will learn how to be a comfort to others in the future. Blessed are the meek, those who know how to keep their power in control so they can channel it properly. Jean Darnell, preacher from a Pentecostal background, once saw somebody running round and round the outside of a Pentecostal meeting like a train, going woo, 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 woo. And she turned to the pastor and said, "What on earth is going wrong?" And he said, "Well, some trains let all the steam out through the whistle, but some let the steam into the pistons to take the engine forward." Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That's wanting God's will to be done in our lives and in the world. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Be kind to one another. And you will know what that means, and you'll be able to help others who are in need of mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. The joy of being right before God, consistently right before God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. We're called to be like Jesus. We're called to be a community of blessing by Jesus. He says, "Be blessed that you may be able to bless. Be blessed that you may be a blessing to others." That's a call to us as a church community. And there's nothing wrong with seeking God's blessing. Some people feel, "Oh, you shouldn't be going around seeking God's blessing all the while." Well, why on earth not? God made us to be people who enjoy things, who delight in things. John Piper talks about Christian hedonism, seeking joy for its own sake. But Christians seek joy in God, because he's the one where the true, fulfilling joy that is available in the universe can be found. We cannot find it anywhere else. "Seek your joy in me," he says. "I love to bless you. But I bless you so that you can be a blessing." I want us to just listen to a song. There are illustrations going to come up on the screen as we go through this song. I've played it to you before. I have to say, it isn't the finest bit of art as a song, and it isn't the best singing in the world. It's a guy called Andy Flanagan, but it's a passionate song, and just focus on the words, because this sums up everything I've been trying to say this morning. Thank you, David. Bless us that we might be a blessing, Lord. Bless us as we share together in the bread and the wine, recognizing that out of your brokenness we are made whole and there is hope for the world. And we have a part to play in declaring that hope and being agents of change in the service of your kingdom. And as we pray that you would bless us, We pray for those for whom we're aware that there are needs at this time. We pray for Chris Hargreaves, who's had to go into hospital this morning with throat problems. We pray for Elsie, the grandma of Karen Aitken, who's in the student room, who was injured at home yesterday and is now staying with Karen's parents. We pray for Hazel, for Tony, for Steve, for Philip, for Andre, for Laura's uncle, and Rebecca, Sarah's sister, for Bob Gallen, for Linda, for Neil and Julie Sheesby and their wider family following the death of Neil's mum, Judy. And for Helen Dunn's niece, Lisa. And for Pete Kane. Lord, for always we pray. We pray that you will meet them in their need and bring your healing and saving power to bear in their lives. And that through these times of difficulty, they may be blessed to be a blessing to others. So hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite those who are going to be distributing the bread and wine now to just come and join me at the table.